You could like deep dive into caverns on bungees.
Can I steal you for a minute? It's my first impression, bros. Prime back to Jay Stewart breaking down all the shows. It's the Bachelor on ABC with Chris. Sent home. How embarrassing, the most dramatic ever. That's what we like. Play your cards right, you might end up on paradise.
He gets up and starts mounting him.
Sleep with your third or fourth girl in a week. We're making a connection, we're falling in love. We're chilling in the mansion outside the hot tub.
Welcome back from theballerlifestyle.com. It is the Bachelor Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you very much for joining the show. Episode 4 of what is apparently season 23, which was a surprise to me. I thought it was at least season 50. I can't believe they've only done 23 of these. They all seem to run together, and they seem to have been going forever. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for being a part of our Bachelor world. I am joined, as always, by Jason Stewart. Jason, what's up?
Hello, everybody.
All right, bud. So last night... Or, I'm sorry, this week's episode, I'm just trying to make this evergreen, you know? This week's episode started off with more pageant drama, and you knew it would be a thing. Hannah B. and Kaylin, they're still going back and forth. Are we sick of this yet?
Yeah, and, you know, we're always getting new listeners, so a brief recap is never a bad thing.
Bring them up to speed.
You have two Miss USA beauty contestants.
Right. You figure if they're listening to the show, they're watching The Bachelor, though, right? We don't have to tell them what's happening on The Bachelor.
I think people will just tune in to hear my voice or your voice. Right. And be like, hey, let me see what the content is.
Right.
And then they'll hear the podcast, and then they'll go to Hulu or whatever and watch the show, and they have that accompaniment. Now they have our prism to watch the show on.
Gotcha.
So if you back up a little bit, you got two beauty contestants from Miss USA, which Brian pointed out last week is not Miss America. It's Miss
the triple
USA.
A's. It's the triple A's of pageants.
Yeah, it's like that if the UFC is the big MMA thing, what's that thing right below it?
Bellator.
Bellator. This is like the Bellator of beauty pageants, right?
It's not even that. It's like the K-1. It's like the one in Russia. Pride. Like
bare knuckle, or yeah.
Right.
So, and Kaylin finished higher than Hannah B. in this beauty contest.
She was first runner-up.
Yeah, and it has completely burdened and tortured Hannah B. ever since. And coincidentally... these two were cast in the same season of The Bachelor.
What are the odds that that would happen?
It's amazing. So the running, rivalry has been these two beauty contestants not only fighting for the love of Colton, but fighting, rehashing old rivalry from the pageantry world.
Pageant drama never goes away.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll be the first to point out that I chose one of these beauty contestants to go to the overnights, to the what do you call that? The suites? What are they? Overnight
fantasy suites.
Fantasy
suites. You always have a hard time with that term.
Yeah. So the fantasy suite, I have one of them going. Kaylin is the one I have going, and then Hannah B. This where is she from? Alabama or whatever. She has more visible craziness. Like she emotes much more, and you can tell she's got quite a bit of crazy in her. Kaylin has been the level-headed one, but as you pointed out last week, those are the sociopathic ones. So
usually,
yeah. At this juncture, we don't quite know who the villain is of both of them, but I think last night kind of shed light on one of them for sure.
I would say there are no villains here. At this, I'm kind of the opinion, and we'll get to how this thing played out later, but I would say that this is just kind of some lame pageant drama, and I don't really get the vibe that either one of these chicks is a real monster. I just get the sense that they don't click and they're not friendly and they rub each other the wrong way. But I don't know that either one of them is necessarily a real bitch.
Well, it's kind of like the Dodgers and Padres, if we want to make a sports analogy, in that the Dodgers could care less about the Padres, but the Padres really care about the Dodgers. So you hear a lot of the negative complaining and jealousy and envy are coming from San Diego. And in this situation, Kaylin is kind of the Dodgers. She doesn't get into the muck as much, and she kind of looks down her nose at the other one. And then Hannah B. is the Padres, and she does a lot of the screaming and yelling. But again, I think at the end of last night's episode, to give it away, there is a reconciliation between the two pageantry members here, and
much ado about nothing.
Right. So I think everything is, as we can move on to our next rival that they've already kind of, actually, you know what? No, they put an end to that last night too. But anyways, let's keep going with this. The first date. The setup, the big setup here are the two beauty contestants.
So, well, they go to Singapore, right, on this episode. And that is a big, they're like super excited to go to Singapore. But I mean, Singapore is pretty cool. Like a lot of times on this show, they go to like Tampa and they're like, oh my fucking God, we're staying at the Embassy Suites in Tampa. Oh my God. Like, Singapore is pretty bitching.
It is. But think about it. It's like typically you have contestants that have never been on TV. All this is a free ride. Everything is so kind of new and cool to them. So wherever they take them, they're just like happy to get away from LA because that means they've moved on. So in the build up to them being informed of where they're going, like I just had a feeling because they set it up. I forget if it was Harrison or Colton, like we're going to go someplace that the Bachelor has never gone before.
Yeah.
And it could have literally been anywhere in the world. And the next like location that he said that they were going to, they were going to go nuts no matter what it was. It could have been Garden Grove and they would have gone nuts. It could have been Saigon.
They got that wolf lodge in Garden Grove, the indoor water park. Great Actually, wolf lodge.
It's not bad. Yeah. They just went overly ecstatically crazy at the word Singapore before he could even get the first initial out of his mouth.
It's gotten really over the top at this point. Like they're like screaming, their hearts are palpitating, girls are crying, like they're falling down. It's like a Pentecostal revival or something when they find out that they're going to Singapore.
It's a pretty good chance though that if there are 15 women, 13 of them have no idea where Singapore is.
No,
they just know it's a foreign place. And of course they had to do the compulsory once they get to the new city, which is a real quick jump at it. It's like Harrison saying, pack your bags. Yeah. And the next scene is in the hotel in Singapore. So that we know that there's at least, 20 hours between the two.
I think it's like a 15, 16-hour flight. So, yeah.
And so they let the ladies into their hotel room. And as we pointed out a couple weeks ago, they have to go crazy about the hotel room. And this is a pretty pedestrian hotel. I mean – the beds were like made.
And it always is.
It's pretty clean, but they're just like going crazy in each room. Like this is the greatest thing ever.
It's pretty. It's a trope at this point. So they get to Singapore, and I think. But when they hear they're going to Singapore, there's a cutaway where Demi's like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to fuck him in Singapore. Like, she's just like really into it. They go there. It starts off. There's a one-on-one. Colton and Tayshia. And in the 23rd season of The Bachelor, I think this is probably at least the 327th time that bungee jumping has been involved on a Bachelor date. Has a season of The Bachelor gone by without a bungee jumping aspect to it?
It's something that is risk taking like that. If it's not bungee, it's just like, I don't know. It's usually typically something that involves great heights. And they always make the cheesy, cliched analogies about, hey, if we're going to be in a relationship together, we need to take risks. And, you know, we need to go out on a limb and all the shitty ass cliches that they could use on these risk taking ventures. But I will say this, and bungee cord jumping is something that I have not done. And I want to do an extreme bungee cord jump. If you go into one of these countries like Singapore, South Africa, where there's no liability laws. And there's no regulations, you could deep dive into caverns on bungees. And
fuck that.
This one looks really cool. I'd like to do this one. It's right in the middle of a beach. So if anybody actually dies on this, kind of half-assed bungee thing, it'll be for all the tourists to see.
And then they could just have a Viking funeral, just put you in a thing and just push you out to sea right there. Yeah.
Right. Because there's a long line of people
Colton goes first. And I don't know about you. I don't know what your thoughts are on this. But to me, Colton screamed like an actual little bitch when he jumped off the thing. Like, you're trying to look hard as fuck. You're there, you're going to be on TV. Like, everybody's watching you. You're trying to impress this chick. Yeah. You're like, don't worry, babe, I'll go first. And then he was like, he screamed like an actual ninny. I could feel the moisture evaporating from anywhere on Tayshia's body at that point. Right. She could not have any sexual attraction to him after that scream, don't you think?
Yeah, you just kind of fake it to make it in that whole thing. You just need to be the man in that situation.
You act hard. You act like, hey, I bungee jump all the time, no problem. I'm going to fucking fall off backwards. I don't give a fuck.
I've never heard a guy use his athletic career as an excuse as much as this guy. So everyone knows that, and if you don't know, he's a virgin. He's never had sex.
Have they mentioned that?
Every once in a while they'll mention that.
Yeah.
And the reason he always goes to, because he's concentrated on his athletic career. He just didn't have time to invest in doing something.
All the other guys on the team were fucking, but not except me, because I didn't have time.
Any of us who have known any athletes, even high-level athletes, committed athletes,
they rarely fuck.
There are even a few that have babies in college. So they're fucking. And so you have that excuse. And what does he use as an excuse of not doing – he's never been anywhere of great heights. He's never done any risk-taking. And the reason? Because he always had his athletic career to consider. That's why he's never bungee jumped and he's never had sex. I don't know what else he could go to as an excuse to his athletic career. And by the way, a pretty normal or below average pro career for sure, right? And then he played college ball where?
Illinois State.
Yeah, the level of commitment that this guy has admitted to having, just the results just weren't there.
It's almost as though he immersed himself in his mediocre athletic career to suppress certain aspects,
no doubt,
of his personality, certain core parts of who he is may have been nurtured and may have been allowed to show themselves had he not been so deeply, deeply ensconced in his athletic career.
Correct. So Tayshia, who's from Orange County, right?
Is that true?
She said she Corona Del Mar. I thought she said
that's right. I do recall that. Yeah. Yeah.
And she's a cutie.
Yeah, she's not bad.
She's of color. If not full black, maybe some Asian in there.
I mean, she's black.
She's cutie.
She's not bad looking.
And she was much more manly on this bungee jump. And
she was, but I have an issue with the way she was sent off, because she was bound at an anybody that's watched The Bachelor and has seen many, many hours of footage of bungee jumping, there's two ways you can go. They'll harness you like around the shoulders and back. They'll put just a regular harness on you, and then you jump and you bounce around and you're held by the middle of your back. That's the safer way. The more dangerous route is the ankle jump. And so she was wrapped at the ankles, and that way you typically fall head first.
Right.
You dive. In her situation, she jumped off feet first despite being lashed at the ankles. So when she reached the full stretch of the bungee, her entire body snapped over from the ankles. It looked like she could have broken her neck. It seemed an extremely dangerous way to go.
Easily. You'd think that would have been the first thing they told her. But then again, this is a Singapore bungee operation.
Right, exactly.
So there probably wasn't the speech or anything. But like, I could have sworn when I saw the activity, I said they're going to do it together because they need to live out the cliche of we're going to do this together. I'll hold you.
Yeah, sometimes they will do that where they'll bind the two bungeers together.
Like, I got you, you're safe, and, and then they do the interviews afterwards, and,
I felt so safe in his arms, I knew nothing would happen to me,
I knew that, to take this leap, I thought we'd have to do it together, and I think we took the relationship to the next step, and all this stuff, but the rest of the date is basically both of them not being very bright, and the conversation is very low level.
They're already at the beach. They do their bungee, and then they just basically walk out on the sand and like get in their bathing suits and splash around in a little like bay.
Right. He gives her the rose.
They have a dinner date. Well, hold on. I want to move past this date, but one thing that did come out during the date is Tayshia. It's very important to open up. If you have these one-on-ones, you need to confess something or tell something very personal about yourself, The Bachelor would go, I just don't feel like she's opening up. So this is your time. And Tayshia, she drops a bombshell. She lets him know she's tainted goods. She's been divorced.
She's been divorced. And this was a recent thing. I think she said like over the last 18 months they were married and divorced, right?
And she did, and this was smart on Tayshia's part. She's like, "Yeah, I'm tainted goods," but she's basically said, "But he's the only guy I've ever fucked."
Yeah.
Just so you know, I'm still relatively clean. Like if you want to get in this, I haven't been soiled despite the fact that I am won't be allowed into heaven.
And by the way, this is probably a famous structure in Singapore, but somehow they have this Ferris wheel thing with pods.
Massive. That thing was massive. You never catch me on that thing.
But somehow the Ferris wheel goes around, but you're sitting straight. And so much so that you could have a dinner on a table.
It's crazy.
As you're going around.
Yeah. I mean, it's the, in Asia, it's the fucking future over there. I don't know if you've seen Crazy Rich Asians. That takes place in Singapore. Sure. It's just, they got shit over there that we're never going to have. They're just so far ahead of us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But that was pretty.
She gets a rose. So next we have a group date. And they're like, it's like, oh, we're going to go on a taste of Singapore or something. So it's like they're going to do like Fear Factor style dining, obviously. It's announced, or once they realize that basically all of them except for two people, Tayshia, who's already had a one-on-one, and then Kaylin, she's not invited on the group date. So it's everyone understands, she's going to get the one-on-one. And Demi, the villain, is displeased by that. So they go on the group date. And the first part of the group date, and I'll give it to The Bachelor. I've seen lots of bungee jumping on The Bachelor. I've never seen 17th century medical procedures on as a challenge on The Bachelor. The women, they all go get fucking leeches applied to themselves. Did that strike you as odd?
very odd. And one of the contestants actually nailed it. Like, is this like FDA approved, or is there some kind of like, I don't know, regulatory mandate here that a place like this has to go through, or are we just showing up to a room where they apply leeches to us? Which
how do you know that leech who has that leech been with before you?
Right. Yeah,
it could leech somebody else. Yes.
So supposedly, as the person that does leech treatments for a living said, the leeches suck out all of the bad toxins.
Yeah, I don't think that's been verified.
I mean,
I need to see some studies.
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this.
But I shared whoever the contestant was who went on camera. I shared her disgust. Like they walked into a room and there's just a dude on a table with leeches applied to his back.
Yeah, super.
And they're all just watching it.
It's weird that in Singapore they have 22nd century Ferris wheel technology, and yet their medicine is like from the 16th century. It's just so odd.
Right, right. I could eat dinner as I've been going full circle for the last hour, but you can't give me an ibuprofen. You got to put a couple of leeches on me.
Yes, 100%.
And then they do they did go outside and they pulled off the fear factor thing where they ate some disgusting stuff, intestines and whatnot, right? And I kind of snored through this. Was there anything that stuck out from there?
Hannah B. Well, she's like she did like a stand up where she's like, I've been leeched, and she had like a crop top on, and she had like a leech on her stomach. And all I could take away from that is that Hannah B's got some super big teeth. Very big chompers on Hannah B. But yeah, they do some like Fear Factor style dining where they're eating. I mean, everything looked pretty fucking good to me. They had like some pig's feet and some intestines and stuff, and I would have just fucking chowed down, no problem. And then Hannah B makes a huge deal about having to eat a fish's eye, which is no big deal, but she's like basically like, I have to do this to prove my love for Colton. And meanwhile, she, because Colton's not giving her any attention,
right,
she decides, well, I'll eat this fish's eye. I don't know if that helped or not, but then eventually they go you know, it gets to like the cocktail, the dinner portion of the date or whatever, where they're all just chilling. And that's when they all vie for Colton's time. And Demi, who I really, and I know this is the point, but I really, really have taken a severe disliking to Demi. She gets a little time with Colton, and you know, you gotta open up. You gotta open up. And she drops a bomb that I might have found something else that I, you know, like, hey, I cheated my way through junior college, or, you know, yeah, you know, like I paid somebody to take my SATs, or I would have confessed something else. But Demi, she goes full throttle. She starts tearing up a bit, and she tells Colton, hey, by the way, this has been hard for me because while we've been here, my mother, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, her mom died. She goes, my mother was released from federal prison.
I know.
I mean, that's what I would keep to myself until absolutely necessary to disclose.
And I think that there's like it's really strange. Like her reaction was like she lost her relative or her dog or something. Like,
yeah,
there was, I guess there was like a plea for compassion. Like,
yeah,
your mother getting out of prison, if you just take it as face value, is great news, and you should like toast to it.
Happy.
Like,
yeah, that's exciting.
And she like broke down crying. And he for some reason took that bait and consoled her. But what a strange reveal. I remember her mentioning something in the opening episode about her mother coming home from prison. I don't know.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. What I didn't know.
Some kind of news to me. Or something.
I'm sure. Yeah. Federal prison.
Yeah. So Demi is the, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win the contest. You know, there's always the villain in every season like that, but she's particularly obnoxious in that, you know, she really plays it up. I always kind of try to peg these people as like actors that are planted into the show, which they do or do not do. But like
our girl from two seasons ago, Corinne.
Corinne seemed like a plant.
Yeah,
maybe not. But you know, Demi has like, I think the problem with Demi's, I guess she's targeted this one black contestant,
Courtney,
and I just don't see it. Like it just, I swear to God. I'm shocked that the racial card wasn't thrown out at some point in this episode.
Demi
is very much like white privilege. I don't know what her mother did, federal prison or whatever, but like she very much has her nose in the air, white privilege, and she targeted a black contestant and just made shit up about her.
She was a super bitch, and this Colton is such a fucking dolt that you pegged it last week when you said he's like Trump in the sense that he goes with the opinion of whoever spoke to him last. Right. And these girls start to fight and he flip flops between whichever one just spoke to him.
Correct. So, Courtney, who seems like a fairly a pleasant girl. The only thing
very
that
nice.
She's really
all
done
the other
is
girls like her.
She's the one that's, that has attempted to speak to Demi about how kind of rude she is. But I think she got completely railed in this episode.
And at one point, Demi was like, Courtney puts the ass in class. And I was like, well, that doesn't even make sense.
That analogy is that she's a classy chick with a great ass. That's what it tells me.
Yeah, she puts the ass in class. I'm like, I don't know what's supposed to be negative about that. I don't get it.
Right. So, but Colton somehow believes Demi that this that Courtney is awful, and Demi's mother got out of prison, so he for some reason feels bad for her.
Gives her the fucking rose.
Gives her the rose.
Sympathy rose, and it was a pretty strategic play on Demi's part. It's like you can't cry about your mom getting out of prison on a one-on-one or on a group date and not expect to get the rose.
I think that's it. But so that's basically the group date. It was pretty boring. The eating, throwing the leech thing, and then you know the Demi narrative got more involved. She's going to be the person that, I mean, I just can't imagine her throwing this black contestant under the bus.
Yeah, Courtney.
And then the girls like rallying behind this. Like I have a feeling that the entire house is going to turn on her for the next episode.
Yeah. She's not popular. Yeah. She doesn't have friends. So then after that, after the group date, then there's a one-on-one where with Kaylin, she's Kaylin. It's a tough name for me to say, probably because it's not a name. He has a one-on-one with Kaylin.
She's the much more Miss mellow, North Carolina. Calculated, yes. Contestant.
She's not.
Hannah B is just not happy that she got the one-on-one date. And Hannah B,
she's losing her shit. She's going mental.
Visually upset.
I don't know if you noticed this, but at the beginning of the episode, she's got a little bit of a skin breakout. Which is nothing to shame about. It happens to all of us, or happens to a lot of people. She's having a bit of a skin breakout, and as she gets more stressed, throughout the episode, the skin breakout, it's on her right cheek, just gets a little bit worse. It's just a little bit of a stress acne reaction to what's going on between her and Kaylin.
So the person that finished higher than her in the beauty contestant gets the one-on-one date, and it is something, I don't know, there's something in the date card that insinuates that there's going to be some shopping involved.
Yeah.
And this is really, I don't remember there being a date like this either, where the bachelor takes his date to a store and then runs up a bunch of clothes on the bachelor's bill. On the show's bill, and then the contestant takes it back to the room to show them everything that she bought. Like this is like a a very strategic move by the show's part to just like drum up the jealousy and the envy. And you see how fake people could be because they're all so excited for her.
Yeah.
When I think there was actually a woman on camera, and it's Cassie, I think, the one that I think might go all the way.
She's so cute.
She tried to get through an on-camera interview.
She started crying.
By saying that she's happy for Kaylin, and she couldn't even get it out. Like, she could not be that fake without crying. And the reason why she's crying, because a woman got free clothes and she didn't. That was why she was crying.
But also, this happens every season. And every season I just sit with my mouth agape and I am in complete awe because this happens every season. And every season, the bachelor, whoever he is lauded and given credit for buying clothes for a lucky contestant that he did not buy. He didn't pay for those clothes.
He just
went along with her while they gave her free clothes. What? Why does he get credit for that?
The boutique or the department store struck a deal with the show. You show our branding and we will give your contestant up to $5,000 in clothes or whatever the deal was.
That's exactly how it works.
And then the bachelor gets the credit for what? For doing what? She's the one who picked out, and he didn't even pick out the clothes. She tried them on and picked them herself. And somehow he got credit for buying her clothes. Like, he's a great guy.
It's just like at the end. It's just like at the end of The Price is Right, where they say promotional considerations paid for by Rick Palick of Beverly Hills. Yeah, that's who fucking gives Bob Barker his suits. He gives him his suits so that you see at the end of the show, I'm the guy that gives him his suits. It's the same fucking thing.
Right. So Colton somehow takes the credit for that one.
Unbelievable. And then, Drives me crazy.
This was an unusual one-on-one date because she does the shopping, then comes back and shows off what she bought. The other women are literally in tears. Yes. They're so jealous. They're so fucking jealous. And then she goes back to him and they have a dinner together.
Yeah.
Now, the big reveal in the episode, and I mean, it was pretty dramatic, she did a really good job of telling the story, so I believe her.
Yeah.
She admits to him at dinner that she has something that happened in her past.
Yep.
And she says, I was invited to a dinner party with friends at a fraternity house. They drugged our drinks. I woke up the next morning with no clothes on. And I had no idea what happened to me. One of the girls that didn't drink relayed to her that she had sex with one of the guys, and that pictures were taken of her naked or under her dress and put on Snapchat by these criminals.
Yep.
And then she reveals that only one of them was punished, I guess expelled from school.
Yeah.
I mean, not even – Nothing criminal happened to these people.
Imagine that is the success. First of all, Kaylin, I really, really had a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for her. She was very poised and calm, and she, while relaying what would be the most horrific experience of anyone's life, it was just an awful, awful thing that happened to her. And I just can't say enough how my opinion of her went up after watching her express these terrible, terrible, events. But it is kind of weird where she's like, none of these guys got in trouble. She's like, I wanted, you know, the school wouldn't do anything about it. Like, I wanted them prosecuted, whatever. She goes, none of them got in trouble. And she goes, well, one guy did. He got expelled. And imagine that counts as these guys are fucking criminals that should be in prison. They drugged their drinks and raped these women. Mm-hmm. And one of them got expelled, and that counts as punishment. You've got to be fucking kidding me. It's insane that in this century, this is the world that we're living in. And also, how is it that these fucking assholes can find accomplices where they go, hey, let's invite some girls over and we'll do some raping tonight. What do you guys think? And all the other guys are like, yeah, I'm in. I was thinking the same thing. I thought about doing some raping tonight. Let's all do some raping. Like, I just cannot picture an environment where this is considered normal. Okay. I'll stop ranting. Yes. Kaylin opened up about something very traumatic that happened to her.
And Colton, he's emotionally unfit for any relationship and 100%. All this stuff. But I will say this, like, he's a very compassionate person, and you could tell that he's got a huge heart, and he listened, yes, and he had some great words to say afterwards to console her. And there was, it was actually in a show that is oftentimes completely void of a conscience. This little scene was actually pretty powerful, I will say.
And it was, yes, I would agree with that. Although Colton, I mean, he has the emotional intelligence of a pre-teenager. I mean, he was trying to be empathetic. And I think he said something like, I can't imagine what that must be like, which is obvious. You know, right. I mean, yeah. I think the better response would be, I'm so sorry that happened to you, or just really like not making it about how you're processing what happened to her, but making it about letting her know that you hear what she went through.
Right. I mean, you'll never hear me commend the guy for his use of words or whatever, but I will say that he was compassionate, and this obviously, no joking aside, like, strengthens this one relationship. And I remember almost pulling her name out of a hat. I had said in the first episode that I think she's going to go to the overnight stay, and I think that I think she's a lock given this ordeal.
Yes, I think barring Kaylin deciding to leave the show or something just really out of the ordinary happening, I don't see any way that another girl ends up getting the final rose on this show. Not just because of what she went through, but Colton tells a story about someone he dated before who had been sexually abused, and you could tell that they really, it was like the most real thing you would ever see on The Bachelor. They seemed to really bond and connect in that moment.
I was almost though thinking, wow, it would be amazing if he was like, he picked up the rose at the end of the dinner and was like, you know, I can't imagine what this whole trauma was for, was like and everything, but like, I think that I should send you home so you can, so that you can deal with it.
Right. That's why we need more bachelors like Juan Pablo Galaviz. Yeah. that's the kind of shit he would do. It's okay.
You're okay. So Kaylin kind of takes the lead here. She's the leader in the clubhouse.
Sure. She's the chalk.
So then after that, we have a traditional rose ceremony with cocktails and
cocktail
and
party,
and gowns and everything else. And at that point, this was the big Kaylin episode, because not only does she reveal her a horrific story about herself and get a rose, and then she calls for a conference with her rival Hannah B, and they each somehow have really smart things to say and
hash it out,
reconcile.
Yep.
And I think nobody really took the blame for anything, and they just said, let's just be adults and move forward. So I think they completely got rid of a rivalry that has been a good part of the last three episodes narrative, right?
I don't think that this is going to rear its head, and really there wasn't much to it. They were playing it up much more. I think at one point Hannah B alluded to the reason for their beef was that Kaylin got first runner up at Miss USA and I didn't clap. Is what I said. And like, it just seems like a very petty thing. And it, you know, in light of bigger things happening, I just think that they hash it out and I think it's fine. But also, I don't think Hannah beats. He doesn't, you know, when they were on the eating weird food date, she's like, he won't even look at me. He's talking to the other girls. He's picked his horse in this thing. And because there was some beef there and we see more of this later, he just doesn't have any time for Hannah B. So unfortunately, I don't think she's going to be around too long. Just before the cocktail party though, he was like entertaining the broads in his room. Where he's like, come in my room.
Oh my gosh, that's right. We got to talk about this.
Yeah, and so Hannah G, the Insta model, who is a just soulless automaton.
She's a content creator by.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Her job, content creator.
She comes into his hotel room and she's like, and this is a whole weird exchange. He's like, she's like, you really keep your bed so tidy, like the bed's all made. And he's like, well, yeah, I'm
obsessive.
Pretty OCD. And she's like, oh yeah, me too. Does she not know that they're staying in a hotel? Like
they
come make your bed every
house
single day.
Do that.
unless you specifically forbid them from making your bed.
So Colton in this episode alone took credit for the clothes
that the store
provided to the show, and then he just took credit for making a bed that house cleaning obviously did. Like,
it's just crazy. Yes, and then they have a makeout on the bed, and both of them just claiming they're both so OCD have their dirty, disgusting shoes all over the bed as they're making out. Like, you get on a bed and you're going for a makeout. You just kick those fucking shoes right off.
Right.
Like, you don't, or if you need to untie them or unbuckle them, whatever, but you don't bring your dirty shoes from outside onto somebody's clean bed.
So just to give some background, Hannah G got the first impression rose, which is basically you're hot.
Yeah.
And I'm giving you a rose. And in this episode, right before the rose ceremony, she felt the need to maybe like remind him of her. And the only thing she thought to go to was, let's make out on your bed. And then she starts riding the guy. She gets up and starts mounting him.
She's working it.
She's playing that card, and it worked. She's going to move on. She's got the hotness card going.
She's got her designs on being the Bachelorette. I'll tell you that much right now. That is her end game. She doesn't want to win this thing. She's a content creator. Yeah, she's an Instagram person. She's an internet person. She's about promote. I mean, they all are to some extent, but she knows how to play the game. She's looking to promote herself. So she's obviously not going to win The Bachelor, but she's definitely has designs on being the Bachelorette.
So the big drama going into the rose ceremony was the Demi Courtney rivalry. Demi basically made shit up that Courtney was the cancer in the house. Now,
and she also claims that Courtney quote attacked her,
right.
Which is a lie. It's a total lie.
Which if she did attack her in any way, shape, or form, the show would have jumped on the opportunity to show it. And all that's ever been shown is Courtney like very calmly trying to talk sense into her that she's coming off really obnoxiously and she's been rude. And so anyways, the Demi, white privileged chick, has made shit up about Courtney.
Totally.
And told Colton that she's been the cancer of the house.
Yep.
Colton firmly believes it. Courtney, in front of all the other women – after Colton had revealed this cancer comment to her, Courtney goes back, sits down with all the women, and says, all right, who here thinks that I'm a cancer in this house? The only one raising her hand was the white privileged Demi.
Yep.
I just can't imagine any of the other women are like think this is cool. And I'm shocked that Courtney handled it with such grace because she ends up not getting a rose.
Yep.
He believes white privilege. She ends up not giving a rose and could not handle it more graciously on the way out.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was justified if she were to be like, wait a minute, Really? You're going to accuse me of that? A white totally. Woman accusing me of that on this show? Nothing was played like that, much to my astonishment.
She put the ass in class. Courtney put the ass in class.
That's exactly what she did. So she doesn't get a rose, and then somebody else doesn't get a rose. I think it was one of the crazy chicks with the crazy eyes.
Okay, hold on. I'll give you we'll do the rose ceremony because we're wrapping up. Demi, conclusion, Demi's a monster, but in the rose ceremony, so already with roses are Demi and right. Kaylin and Tayshia.
Right.
From the three dates. So then, wait, is there one? No, that's it. So in the rose ceremony, Hannah G gets a rose, the internet model. Heather, never been kissed, gets a rose. Kirpa, the Indian girl that you don't even know she's on the show.
She's done nothing.
There's no Kirpa. Reason for her to be there. Kirpa, right. She gets a rose.
Right.
Hannah B, Miss Alabama, gets a rose, which was kind of a surprise. You thought he may have just been timed. You know, I've chosen Kaylin in that battle.
Let's be honest, like them reconciling.
Yeah.
Meant that the show didn't need them anymore.
It's true. Yeah.
And he obviously is going to go Kaylin, Team Kaylin. So yeah, I'm not sure why he gave Hannah B a rose.
Hannah B's gone. If sooner than later, Katie, who I'm a massive fan of, I love Katie. She gets a rose. Elise, she's the super vintage 30-year-old from Alaska, the redhead.
Cougar. Yeah, the cougar.
Yeah, she's a total coug.
She's the one who had that sad story last week and dropped her foundation's name.
Sister had a tumor in the womb
and got zero airtime this week. That was a last week's story and zero this week. But I will say in the tease, it looks like she does something next week that pisses him off.
There's some type of reveal.
But she
happens.
Of course, she's going to go crazy because she's vintagely old. She's 30.
So old. She's 31 years old. So fucking old. Then Sydney, again, someone that never appears on the show. She's the Knicks dancer, New York Knickerbockers.
She's floating under the radar. I can see her making a move here pretty quick.
Speaking of floating under the radar, my personal favorite, Cassie from Huntington Beach. This chick is so cute.
She's one of my picks to go.
Yeah, I've got her headed deep in the – making a deep run in the show. Then Nicole, she gets a rose. I don't know if you know this. Did you know that she is of Latin descent?
Yeah, she's fiery Latina. She does nothing Cubana. For me. And she's kind of annoying. We don't need her around anymore. Onyeka is the same way. She doesn't. I'm not sure why she's still around.
Yeah, Onyeka gets the last row. So you're thinking, oh well, they're holding it out, but they're going to give it to Courtney, and then this monster Colton gives it to Onyeka instead, and Courtney is sent away. And like Jason said, she leaves very graciously along with Tracy with the crazy Joker. Another one of the vintage 30-year-olds with the crazy Joker eyebrows. She's gone as well.
Which kind of surprises me because I thought she was a rival of Demi as well. I thought they like to keep the rivalries going, but maybe they thought that she didn't do enough to stir the pot.
So, yeah, that is interesting. But both of Demi's rivals, Courtney and Tracy, left on this episode. So, and they both left very graciously. There were no big tearful moments. They said thanks and left.
You could tell that white privilege Demi was fed a line by producers. I don't think Demi's ever seen The Wizard of Oz because she was told to say "Ding dong, the witch is dead" on camera. About Courtney leaving, right?
Yeah.
And the way she said it, you could tell she's never seen the show or even knows or never seen the movie or knows the reference.
Yeah.
She was just like, "Ding dong, the witch is dead." Yeah. Like it was completely different syntax and emphasis, and it was kind of annoying.
Correct. Clearly fed that line from a producer of a different generation. Good call, Jason. Good
idea. Oh, by the way, Heather was carried over, and she gets a one-on-one next week where Heather's the one who's never kissed anybody.
She's going to have her first kiss next week.
Yeah, so in the season of emotionally unfit people, there's going to be a first kiss on camera next week.
Heather, who is like 27 or something. She's not like 19.
No, never kissed anybody.
Never kissed anyone.
And no one seems to think there's a problem with this.
She has a one-on-one with Colton next week, and I saw at least one zoom-in close-up on Colton's lips. So they're going to really try to build some tension around that first kiss of her life.
Oh, here's an interesting fact. And the fun facts in her biography, she has a kitty named Kitty.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Her one, the only kitty she pets.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go right there. That was a pretty open-ended joke.
Okay, and anything else we want to add in regards to episode 4?
So let me I need to edit my overnights. The final three.
Top three. Give us your top three.
I'm going to keep with Kaylin and Cassie from the get-go.
Yep.
And then I got to throw in, who did I mention earlier that's kind of, probably Hannah G, right? That's a safe pick.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that those are three great picks right there.
Tayshia too. I guess I'll go Hannah G. Hannah B's a safe pick.
Yeah, I think we have the same top three. I think Kaylin is well ahead of the pack, but Cassie is just so pretty and cute that he's going to keep her around. And then this Hannah G is, you know, she's strategic. She's a content creator. She's going to hang around close to the end, probably in the top three. Okay, that's it. Appreciate it, Jason. All right, good talking to you.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
That is the Bachelor Lifestyle discussion of episode 4 of Colton Season. Join us next week. Check us out on The Bachelor or follow us on – dude, what am I doing? Subscribe on iTunes to the Baller Lifestyle podcast to get all your Bachelor shows there. Until next week, for Jason Stewart, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been the Bachelor Lifestyle from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
It's my first impression, Rose. Prime back to Jay Stewart breaking down all the shows. It's the Bachelor on ABC with Chris Harrison. You grind in a limo, sent home. How embarrassing, the most dramatic ever. And that's what we like. Play your cards right, you might end up on paradise. Here's the key to the fantasy suite. Balls deep so you can sleep with your third or fourth girl of the week.